Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 1, and that's on page 811 of your Bibles. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Thanks, Paul. And hello. My name's Kev. I'm the senior minister here. Sorry that we're slightly booming. Great to have you here. If you're new with us, maybe new to town, maybe looking for a church, we're thrilled that you've been able to join us this afternoon. Our Father who art in heaven begins the most famous prayer in the world, regularly recited by 2 billion people, it's estimated. Not all of them getting the words right, so children commonly misunderstand it as Our Father who does art in heaven. Apparently others, I love this one, some children mishear the first line as Our Father and Uncle Kevin. That appealed to me. Some think God's name is Howard, because Howard be thy name. And the final line gets a modern twist when it's mistaken for deliver us from email, which is certainly a prayer we can all say aloud amen to. We've started this new sermon series on prayer. We normally teach through Bible books, and we will return to that usual rhythm. In February, we'll be going through Habakkuk and then Song of Solomon in the run-up to Easter. We've done occasional topical series, though, on important themes like God's Word and the church. And we've hardly ever spent extended time learning about prayer, which was one of the main hallmarks of the first Christians. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the prayers. To be honest, I worry this is an area of weakness for us collectively. I worry it mainly because I know my own heart. So the aim of this series is that we will pray, which might actually be the thing that would make the biggest difference to us enjoying our relationship with God more. Some of you are prayer warriors. You know, I've personally, tangibly felt the benefit of prayers from people in this church family. Thank you. It was great to see so many of us out to pray on Tuesday evening. Still, many of us struggle in this area. Of course we do. Since the fall, something in all of us has wanted to hide from God rather than lean towards him. So, permission to admit prayer's not going well. We'll have lots of questions. QR them in as we go along. We've put a code on your sheet so you can do that today. I mentioned last week the Psalms have been a big help to me, and the Lord's Prayer has too. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. In Luke's version, the disciples ask, teach us to pray. Very striking. They never say teach us to preach or plant or heal. And it's the heart of the discipleship training here in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. By the way, this is a Matthew. There's loads of them on the table at the back. Do take one on your way out if you haven't got access to a Bible. Pray then like this, says Jesus. Need mentoring in how to pray? Here's the mentoring. Not a magic formula or a strict regime of words never to be deviated from. Not the only prayer in the Bible. A model, though, and just a total gift. I mean, do you want to be more in tune with God's story and values and God's purpose? Do you wish your desires were more united with Christ's desires? Well, pray the Lord's Prayer and mean it. First, our Father in heaven. We used to pray the Lord's Prayer in assemblies when I was at primary school. Mr. Carruthers, the head teacher, would say, "Our Father," and that was the cue for all the children to join in on the following line, which was a shame because it meant the rest of us didn't get to say the two most exciting and significant words in the whole prayer. Our Father. Scandalous in world religion that this is the form of address we use. I'm told there are 99 forms of names for God in Islam. None of them as intimate as this. Even for Jews, the fatherhood of God was there in the Old Testament, though they always addressed him in much more exalted ways. Understandably, he's the Lord of all. Jesus died so we could approach him as Father. When Abraham Lincoln was American president, his young son Tad used to have the run of the White House. It was captured well in the Spielberg movie Lincoln, Tad haring around the corridors in some sort of wagon. The story is told of a soldier during the Civil War, desperately wanting compassionate leave from the military. He was in Washington, tried to get to see Lincoln, obviously couldn't. So the soldier was out in the park, clearly upset, when this boy comes up and asks him what's wrong. The boy was Tad Lincoln, who took him by the hand in the front door of the White House to see his dad. Sounds apocryphal, right? But apparently that's the kind of thing Lincoln did. Incredible access. And as nothing to what the Son brings us into. I said last week, prayer was part of the good news. I want to say it more strongly. It's at the heart of the good news. Because if the heart of sin is broken communion with our Maker, the heart of the gospel, while the Son of God comes down from heaven and says to you and me, "Let me walk you into the Oval Office of the cosmos. It's okay. My blood, the means of access, nothing you could ever say or do could work." And he says, "My Father, the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth and the seas and the maker of everything in them, wants you to know him, to draw near to him. And when you speak to him, you're to call him Dad. Because that's what he is." I know dad stuff presses into painful places for some of us. To be honest, mine's brilliant. I'm conscious it's not a blessing we've all enjoyed. He's one of those dads. I could ring him up right now, actually, and say, "Dad, I need you to do something for you immediately." And he would do it. I mean, I try not to be too much of a demanding son. But he's great. Even though he's great, though, old man Murdoch is not offended when I say he's not the best parent I have in the universe. I hope whatever your story with human fathers, this is one of the most precious blessings of your Christian life. If you're not a Christian yet, this is one of the main reasons to become one. Jesus' Father, our Father, your Father. What a miracle. And it's the big emphasis here. Did you notice the heavy repetition in the reading? Father. So hard for us to really get it and live it and enjoy it. I mean, if the child of a world leader did usher you into the leader's office for a chat right now, you'd remember that forever. How blessed we are. Legal adoption by and daily direct access to our Father in heaven. Daddy daycare. How about daddy pray care? It's a bit cheesy, isn't it? But words like daddy and care are exactly the right associations to make. Because your Father in heaven loves you and knows you before you even open your mouth. That's what verse 7's about. Verse 7, when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Classic paganism, shout louder and hope he hears. Or even better, cut yourself. That's bound to get his attention. I was reading about this Japanese New Year ritual. They're actually doing it this very weekend. They go into an ice bath, pray for good fortune and health, and basically, whatever's out there has to answer because I'm in an ice bath. Well, it can be just the same with sophisticated-looking religion. We performed the right chant, did the right ritual, in the correct super-spiritual posture, he has to bless. That's not family. That's transactional and superstitious and impersonal and insecure. Jesus invites us to relax in the simplicity and security of a child in the company of their good dad. We'll have a talk on unanswered prayer. But it's deliberate that we've spent so much time on the first two words here. Because the key to Christian prayer is knowing who we're praying to and what our relationship with him is. He knows what we need. The rest of the prayer is what we need. So point two, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. I hope you like my talk points today. They're very original, aren't they? And the point here is, get the telescope out before the microscope. Pray big and missional and full reversal. This is a prayer that people would know the truth about God rather than lies. That would be led by him rather than other voices that are not as good. It's a prayer for obedience to his will in every detail of life. It's really a big prayer for the Adam and Eve stuff to be reversed. Hallowed has nothing to do with Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. It's a prayer that God's name would be bigged up as holy, hallowed, special. So there's been a smear campaign ripping through since the Garden of Eden that says he's not good news. While the fight back is on, this prayer is that people would hear the name Yahweh and associate it with all the beautiful things that Scripture says about him. It's not an ego trip on his part. That there would be nothing better for the people of the nations to know what he's really like. If his name was hallowed, justice, faithfulness, sacrifice would all be being hallowed because he is those things. The restoration of God's name among the nations is the big thing going on in the world today. Not surprising we pray for it first. I mean, how many people have you walked past this week who have no clue what God is really like? How many in your workplace have only ever thought of his name as a swear word? How many students out here show up for a new term feeling that if God exists, he probably doesn't like me rather than he wants to be your dad? Hallowed be your name, Lord. Please would you be talked about and thought about rightly. What a wonderful thing to pray for UCL, for UCH, the hospital, your workplace, London, the country you're from. What if we were all praying this into those places every day? Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's all connected because the more people get who God is, the more they'll bow to his kingship in their lives, which is not oppressive. This Sermon on the Mount is the standard of human dignity and generosity. Read the Sermon on the Mount if you want more detail on what God's will being done means in practice. It's actually a big missional prayer, this first half of the Lord's Prayer. It's about the mission of the church. Because the Sermon on the Mount says, we've to shine as a city on a hill through our good works. In other words, as we obey his will. And as we do that, others will come to glorify him. In other words, they'll hallow his name. It's about God's mission, this prayer. Our mission. And ultimately, it's a prayer for the future to come. Because there's a day coming when the smear campaign will be completely defeated by a chorus of universal hallowing of his name. On that day, God's good kingdom rule will be recognized by everyone, everywhere. And on that day, God's will always be done in every heart and mind and action as far as the eye can see. Come, Lord Jesus. That's another way of saying, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Because when he comes, this prayer will be answered in full and forever. It is a prayer of two halves, though I don't love some of the ways people describe the difference between the two halves. So sometimes it's said the first half is God's concern and then we move on to our concerns. No, these concerns in the first half are supposed to be our concerns too. Others say God's glory in the first half, our good in the second half. No, the first half is for our good as well. It is more microscope than telescope, though, the second half. So if that big picture mission is to be answered, the second half is what we need to pray for in the detail of disciples' lives. So give us this day our daily bread. We're so used to shelves stacked full, we can effectively become atheists on daily provision of things like food. You know, I was thinking about it. If I went home to our flat right now, I reckon our family of five humans and two rabbits could survive for about a month based on just what we've got in the cupboards right now. It's mainly tins of tomatoes and bags of crisps. But I guess this is more of a live issue in cultures where you genuinely hope you'll have enough to eat for the next 24 hours. Yet the reality is we're just as dependent on him for our daily needs. Right that we express that creaturely dependence. Like Israel on their journey when God provided for the day ahead. Needs not wants, says he knows what you need before you ask him. So what do you need to get you through the day? Good discipline to list before him the basics of sleep, food, clothes, mental capacity to do your work, all the things you need to keep going as a Christian. And then the rest of the prayer is about your relationship with sin. That's quite high on the word count, isn't it? God knows us so well. If you've messed up this week, you're seriously tempted this week, this is a prayer for you. Personally speaking, this is the hardest part when I get to this line. I don't know, do you pray out loud? I often do just because it helps me to concentrate. But even though I know there's no one else listening except God, and even though I know he already knows what I'm about to say, I still naturally lower my voice when I get specific on my sins, you know, to say, forgive me these specific things. Forgive me these specific things again that are a lot similar to the specific things I asked for forgiveness for yesterday. And yet, I've found it can be that those then become the best of times in prayer when you do that. Because to be so conscious of your own badness and then to know so certainly that the prayer is answered because from the first line you've been calling him Father through Jesus. Well, confession time can become the time I'm most blown away by the gospel, most amazed by grace, how sweet the sound could only ever be the thing that saved a wretch like me. And lead us not into temptation. How much do you believe you have the capacity to slip up seriously in godliness tomorrow? Do you believe our enemy, the devil, is prowling around, looking to drag us all back to the lies? How cunning of Satan to make us think that God is tempting us. It's so twisted when actually God's longing for you to ask him for help and he'll give you the strength to resist. You know, I was thinking for me, this is the battle. Am I even praying, lead me not into temptation? And that's the end of the prayer. Actually, quite specific things we're to ask for. We will come back to unanswered prayer. But the basic way God set things up is that he works through the prayers of his people. He says, I've told you what to ask, so ask me. And think about it. How often have you seen Lord's Prayer, prayers answered. So his name extending, kingdom growing, you being provided for, help in the battle. Does he answer those prayers? All the time. Pray for anything. He's your Father. Cast all your anxieties on him. So many of our anxieties covered here already, though. And not wrong to pray about a specific difficult work situation at the end of the Bible study. But how about pray these asks into that situation? Lead us not into temptation in that difficult work situation, for example. Or pray this into a ministry area you're involved with. I remember the first area of ministry I was given responsibility of at St. Helens, I used to go through the Lord's Prayer and use each line as a heading as I prayed for that ministry. I've been feeling quite challenged this week. I don't do that much anymore. I feel my prayers for Euston are more driven by, well, the diary, what events are coming up next, or specific situations that I'm responsive to. I want to pray the Lord's Prayer more for our ministry. And then in that situation where you feel you don't know what to pray, Jesus says, pray then like this. You could go for ages under each line as a heading, or you can just pray it as it's written. It's not less authentic just because it's pre-written. Just mean it when you pray it. Use it together. Notice how corporate, our, and use it on your own. Verse 5 is about that. When you pray, you mustn't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. I take it that means that our praying together should be the icing on a much bigger cake of private prayer. Really practical question. Do you have a place where you can talk to him undistracted on your own? Jesus says the secret place is actually the testing place of whether you're playing or praying. There's no guilt trips here as we finish. The point is, why would you focus on a round of applause from us when you have access to his smile, his joy that you are talking to him? The hypocrites don't have a father. Such a tragedy and such a privilege for us, such an opportunity every day to pour out your heart to a Father who loves you, who gets you, and knows every detail about what you need before you ask. Shall I shut up and we'll talk to him? Let's be quiet for a moment, and then we'll say the family prayer together. So together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We'll carry on in prayer now.
Let's continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father in heaven, who created the universe. Thank you that you are a good Father who provides, sustains, and protects. We thank you that we can draw near to you in full confidence as your forgiven children. We pray that your name would be hallowed and exalted. Be gracious to us and bless us, that your ways may be known on the earth and your saving power among the nations. We pray that your kingdom would come in your plan to restore all things in your Son Jesus. Would all the peoples of the earth be made free and brought together under his gracious rule? Open the eyes and the ears of our world to obey your justice and to flourish under your power. Father, we pray that your will would be done on earth as in heaven. Help us turn our hearts to your word and not to our own selfish gain. Give us a ready will to obey your word, and fill us with a desire to make your righteousness known to those around us. Father, help us see how we are entirely dependent on you for our daily needs, and that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We ask that we would trust in your provision for all of our daily needs. Please forgive us for when we stray from your ways, and for when we don't honor your priorities in our lives. Help us confess our sins and temptations to you. Make us strong in your spirit and feed us with your word. Father, we give you thanks for the prayer that you have taught us to say, and pray that when we say the Lord's Prayer, we wouldn't be reciting empty words or phrases, but that you would be shaping the priorities of our hearts. Help us to genuinely connect and build a deeper relationship with you. Through Jesus Christ, amen. We turn to pray for the workers at Euston Church, and we pray in particular for those in demanding or insecure jobs, that you would give them strength and integrity in their work this year. We ask that in their workplaces they would be good colleagues, thoughtful managers, and faithful servants for your kingdom. We also pray for new workers who have recently arrived and joined our church. We thank you for bringing them here and for the gifts and experiences that you have given them. Help us as a church family to welcome them well, that we would love them as ourselves. Would you help them to settle in, form real friendships, and get to know people both at services and through midweek Bible studies. We pray that Euston Church would be a place of rest and encouragement for both long-standing workers and for new arrivals, where we are rooted in your word and grow in our relationship with you. Finally, we turn to pray for our world and for the ongoing protests in Iran. We pray, Lord, that you would bring comfort to the families of those who have been killed or injured. We pray that hospitals would be able to cope with the influx of patients, and that you would enable them to have the necessary medical staff and provisions. Lord, we pray that you would give wisdom to the Iranian leaders and those in positions of power. Thank you that you are the one who changes times and seasons, who removes kings and sets up kings. We pray for the persecuted Christians in Iran, that you would protect them from violence and keep them looking to you for strength and for guidance. Would you remind both them and us that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures from generation to generation. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.